Well, hey, you, welcome to Life with Lex, hosted by yours truly, Alexis M. Lott, also known online as Alexis in Creative. And on today's episode, listen, we are talking about a juicy one that I got in from an audience member. And that is, I'm answering the question, why do people only see how you respond, not what they did to make you angry? Okay. I am going to be unpacking that here in a minute. But first, before we get into all that, I want to tell you a little bit about myself and my story. In 2010, I gave my life to Christ after the year before being miraculously stopped from a suicide attempt by my grandmother. And from there, I decided that I was going to make my commitment to Christ real. And I have spent the last 11 years of my life dedicated to healing from trauma. And now my purpose in life is to lead men and women into their purpose and out of trauma. And I'm hanging out and doing that over at thecherishedwoman.com. And then what I do for my day job to pay the bills, I am a brand strategist and accountability coach for faith leaders, authors, and women of faith who are ready to produce their books, brands, and businesses. And you can find me doing that over at alexismlott.com. All right. So we are going to dive straight in head first into this episode question. Now, normally I do accept podcast interviews, meaning that if you want to be coached through a tough situation where you can get back on track, I am here for you. So you can actually email me at hello@thecherishedwoman.com. And in that subject line, just drop the words podcast interview, and I will actually coach you live for free on air for 30 minutes. And we will talk through whatever it is, your tough spot with trauma, personal relationships, any of that, we're going to get through it. Okay. And so I am super excited to have you. So drop me a line, hello@thecherishedwoman.com, if you want to be coached for free for 30 minutes. All right. So in today's podcast episode, it is being brought to you by my prayer summit. It's happening September 28th, 29th, and 30th, 100% online, and it's called Teach Me How to Pray. And what we're going to do is we are going to gather every single morning in those 3 days at 10 a.m., and I'm going to teach on prayer. And then that evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, we're going to go live and we're going to pray over ourselves, over our families, and over this world. And my heart is to really teach on prayer, because prayer can be a very daunting thing. And I'm going to kind of talk about that on this podcast episode too. So I am excited about Teach Me How to Pray, and you can get signed up for your free seat over at thecherishedwoman.com/pray. All right. But let's get into it. 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 So why do people only see how you respond and not what they did to make you angry? All right. I am going to answer this question, of course, with the best wisdom to give you as possible, because baby, I have been there. And I have been in situations before where I could honestly say that I was provoked emotionally. And then when I responded in a certain way, you know, this particular person in one incident that I can remember, having survived domestic violence and family, what I call family violence, being abused by a parent, I can just remember what it was like in those seasons where, it would be like, she's disrespectful. She's this, she's that, she's that. And she made me do this to her, and you deserve this. And ooh, baby, the therapy sessions that I had to have, and the moments with the Holy Spirit that I had to have to help unwind a part of my brain for feeling like every time I messed up, I was worthy of punishment and that I was not worthy of anyone's love. And, you know, as parents, I don't know if it's intentional sometimes for them to say and do things like, you know, get out of my face, you know, go to your room, do this, do that. But what we instill in our seed, in our children, is this mindset that says, get away from me. When you mess up, you're not worthy of being around me. And oh my God, the love of the Father and what Christ has taught me in my journey with him is that it's when I mess up the most that I am most in need of my Father's love. And so I have learned that when I mess up or when I do something wrong, it's not, oh, shoot, I don't need to tell my dad. It's, oh, my God, let me go tell my dad. And I am learning to live free from shame and to live free from just this constant feeling of thinking that there is no room for my improvement. All right. And so I'm going to walk through a list of how to shift your mindset from being the victim, because the question is, why don't people see what they did to provoke you? You know, just they only snap back when they see you respond negatively, but they don't pay no attention to how they provoke you. Well, listen, unfortunately, friend, that is a victim-minded statement. It really is. And so on today's episode, I'm going to walk you through 9 points to help you unpack this and some questions to ask yourself the next time you find yourself in a tough relational conversation, because it can get real tough out here, all right, when dealing with people. So number one, why do people only see how they provoke, why do people not see how they provoked you? Not what they did to make you angry, only how you responded. So let's unpack this. So number one, I got to tell you the truth, boo. People are not responsible for your feelings. You are. And however you choose to react is a response that has been built into your mind, not theirs. So a person cannot make you feel bad. They cannot make you angry. They cannot make you mad. You choose to become angry. You choose to become mad. You choose to become upset after you have been bothered by what they have said or done or not done to you. Okay. So I need you to remember this. No one, absolutely no one, has the right to make you feel something. Baby, you, 100% you, feel that way. And until you recognize that no one has responsibility over your emotions except you, you're going to be constantly falling hand and foot, being the victim in situations where you really don't need to be. You actually have the power. All right. You really do. You have the power. It is interesting because I think about Jesus a lot in these situations, and I think about how he responded to people kind of coming at him sideways. And instead of him getting with that person or saying something negative back, he was calm, because understand this, he knew who he was. He knew his assignment. He understood where he was going. And so things and people that came to get in his way, unfortunately, could not move him. And I think the more the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the more they realized that he was not going to be moved, that is what made them the most upset, because they realized, we cannot provoke this man. We cannot trip him up. We cannot get him to act like any other person we have seen. Your godly character sometimes makes a person even more upset because you are someone that is not easily shaken. And so number one, I need you to realize your reaction to how they treated you is a reaction that belongs to you. No one has the right to make you feel a certain way. Okay. So number two, flowing from that, responses to people's pettiness, like your anger, your rage, even your silence, they are what's called secondary emotions. They mask emotions like hurt. So the first thing you need to ask yourself is this: why did what they say hurt me? Why did what they say hurt me? What is it that exists inside of me that is now upset, that is now angry, that is now feeling discombobulated? Instead of saying, why did they make me feel this way? Ask yourself, why does this hurt me? Okay. That's a better question to ask when you feel yourself emotionally provoked. And here's the reason why. You may have a trauma response or an unresolved wound or a false expectation in your mind. And so whenever they come at you with that type of response or that type of anger and you suddenly feel angry and mad, your emotions are now trying to protect you from feeling something. And there is a, excuse me, there probably have been seasons in your life where your emotions have protected you well. All right. And so if you have a trauma response or just a false, it doesn't even have to be trauma. It doesn't have to be that deep, but you could have a very false expectation of how you think that person, what that person should have said. And so when that expectation doesn't line up, all of a sudden you feel let down. Well, you feel let down and you feel angry, you feel wounded because of what exists in you. It has nothing to do with them. And I want you to remember this. I remember saying this to a friend one time. Emotions are a compass. They are pointing you to the way that you want to respond or to the way that you feel. So I want you to write this down. My emotions are pointing me to something deeper inside of me. So emotional responses like anxiety, just feeling panicked, feeling sweaty, not being able to get your mind to calm down. Those things inside of you, those are responses. Depression is a response. Anxiety is a response. Anger, silence, rage, those are responses. They are not conditions. They are responses. Your brain is wired to protect you from pain. The same neurotransmitters inside of your brain that register physical pain are in the same spots that register emotional pain. So if your brain knows, don't put your hand on the stove because it's hot, then your emotions knows, don't deal with that person because they make you angry, or don't feel this way because this anger is going to do something inside of you that the brain no longer has control over. Okay. So you have to realize, ask yourself healthy questions. Why is this angering me? Instead of why did they make me angry? Okay. All right. Let's move on. Number three. So we're answering the question, why do people only see how you responded, not what they did to make you mad? Okay. So number three, sometimes people are flat out unaware that they may have poked you in an area where you are sensitive, and it's your job to communicate how you would have expected to be treated in that situation. I got news for you, friend. People don't read minds, and especially not husbands. So you have to communicate, well, I kind of expected this outcome. I would have loved it if you would have said this, or why didn't you say that? Baby, let me tell you something. It's your job to communicate how you want to feel. But sometimes, especially with us ladies, we jump from zero to emotion without even number two, examining why we feel that way. And then number three, we don't tell anyone that they may have hit a sensitive area until the sensitive area is hit. And still, it's not that person's responsibility. It's yours. Okay. Now, number four, here's a good thing. I'm going to let you relax a little bit. Number four, someone who is aware of your wounds, they love you enough to package their response differently next time. I'm going to say it again. A person who is truly aware of your wounds will repackage their response to you next time. So I have learned that relationships that we love and we value require a degree of finesse. You got to know when to say it, and you got to know how to say it, if you need to say it at all. Because one of the things that I have learned, just as like a married woman being 9 months into my marriage, is and then in knowing my husband since 2015 as a friend, there are some things that I take to the Lord in prayer, and in intercession and in prayer, it softens his heart and softens the season where I know it's time to bring this up. So it softens the soil. But if you just come at a person all any kind of way and never pay attention to what else they have going on, where their emotions are, all those things, if someone has even done that to you and you respond to them, you have to be wise enough to say, it's not a good time right now. Can you give me time to process? Okay, so that goes back to point number three, is your job to communicate how you want to be treated in a situation. But number four's point is when someone truly just genuinely knows you and cares about you and has been around you a minute, they know how to package their response differently next time. Now, what happens when a person is aware of your wounds and they choose not to repackage their response differently? Okay, now number five is sometimes people are not aware of their poor communication skills. They just aren't. They have never had someone hold them accountable to communicating better. I give you one for instance. I talk about my friend Jaquilla a lot on this podcast, and her podcast title is her own personal podcast title is Quiet Moments with Quilla, Redefining Life's Chaos. And so one of the beautiful things about her is that her and I have this understanding. Whenever life happens to us and we want to get on the phone and talk to each other, we ask first, do you have the emotional capacity to listen to my bad day? Are you in the right headspace to hear me right now? And it has built such a layer of trust and love in our relationship because we don't just throw up on each other. We are two friends, two grown women, two grown married women who check in with each other often, but we both remember sometimes I don't have the emotional capacity to carry my friend's stuff and my stuff too. So we check in with each other and we ask, is this a good time right now for you to handle a deep conversation? It's just a respect thing. Now, sometimes though, you have to learn that. Like, you have to learn how to communicate. Number five, you have to learn to be aware of the fact that you may be a poor communicator and you have to learn how to get better. Now, number six, we're gonna really talk about some things too. I told you it's gonna get better. Sometimes people are very aware of your wounds. They are very aware that they could repackage things differently, but they're trying to force you to grow up or to get over something. Now, we get to talk about people who have what I may call narcissistic tendencies, where they know it's a bad time for you. They know not to do that to you. They completely understand you're not in the right headspace. They have poked the bear intentionally because they're a narcissist. At the end of the day, if you have people who are constantly manipulating your emotional controls to where they are intentionally coming at you, they really truly care about themselves. And they are constantly trying to project their will onto yours. But can I tell you something? Point number seven now, because point number six was people who are aware of your wounds, they're trying to force you to grow up and get over it. But number seven is people who are trying to force you to respond their way are controlling and may have narcissistic tendencies. But let me tell you something, baby, it's still in your control how you manage a narcissistic person. And the word of the day is boundaries. And there are some people you have to give clearer boundaries than others. There are some relationships you may not be able to get out of. There are some seasons in life. There are some family members, even, that you may have to learn. When I deal with this person, I know my limits. When I'm ready to go home and go back to my house, I'm ready to go home and go back to my house. When I am trying to make sure that I can have a healthy conversation with them and it goes left and they're not listening to me, could I maybe call in a mediator? Could I ask them? Could I respond back at a different time? But if they're constantly trying to poke at me, this is a person I'm going to have to limit my communication with. That's still your job. Okay. Now, number eight, we really got to unpack this. Okay. Now, if you are trying still to make that narcissistic person happy, and you're secretly hoping that one day they're going to change, baby, you might be a people pleaser or codependent at best. Okay. And what codependency is you have convinced yourself that you cannot live without this person's response, without their attention, without them trying to bring up without their attention. And codependency is when you become connected to that person's emotional highs or lows, thinking that you are their savior and that you can change them. I'm here to tell you, you are kidding yourself. And codependency and people pleasing comes from this, not last question, number 9. I need you to ask yourself this question. Who in your past do you secretly wish was happier with you? That person right there, that person right there that you just thought about, that is the root of your trauma. There is always someone when you are suffering with codependency issues, when you find yourself always being the weaker person and there's someone in a relationship who is more dominant than you. You're constantly seeing this cycle happen over and over again. It's normally because you may be projecting a past unresolved pain onto your current relationship. And that person now has the key to making you react certain ways because they know that they have control over you. Whew. Inhale, exhale. I know it's a lot to unpack, but the message of this podcast episode so far has been, baby, you are worth this work. And ultimately, the person in control is you. Okay. So if you want to discuss or talk about this podcast episode, all right, it is so important that you make sure that you don't live with the victim mindset that says, oh, it's what they did to me. It's not how I responded. They should have known what they did. Don't live with that victim mindset anymore. Okay. So you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook to unlock this conversation and use the hashtag The Heal Life to find any of my podcast episodes where we can talk about this in the comments, or you can drop me a DM on Instagram. Now, one of the things that I hinted at in this podcast episode, I was talking about prayer, okay, and how important it was for me to learn in my personal relationship with my husband, especially how to pray and seek God for things. Because sometimes in order to love a person well, you have to be mindful of timing and bringing things up before they are ready to mature into it. And sometimes you can be waiting a really long time. And so I want to talk to you about that. So I want to talk to you about when God responds quickly. Number 2, when God responds and says, yes, but not right now. And then number 3, when you have to keep tilling the ground or do what I call dynamite prayers, where it's like if there's a stronghold or an area in a person's life or in your life that has existed for a long time. So think about like a castle, and you through prayer have the power to take like sticks of dynamite every single time you pray, and you just line them up on the, imagine yourself just putting dynamite around that building. So every time you go to God about this subject, you're putting dynamite around like something huge, like the White House, like a mountain, and you're just laying your sticks of dynamite, laying it. And so it may not be 1 year, it may not be 2 years, it may not be 3, it may be 5, 6, 7, but you never know when the timing of God will come and that all those layers and all those sticks of dynamite have been laid, and in one place of ignition, boom, it blows up and that stronghold comes down. So listen, prayer is one of those things that can be really frustrating if you don't understand how prayer works. And so I want to talk to you about how prayer works. And I also want to talk to you about how God has uniquely designed you to hear from him. Because I believe there are 4 different types of hearing or knowing that God is talking to you. And then there are ways and types where God is speaking back to you. And so I want to help you unlock and understand your primary prayer language, your spiritual gifts, and to just honestly know more about the subject of prayer. So I want you to really consider joining me September 28th, 29th, and 30th, every single morning for those 3 days at 10 a.m., we're going to learn about prayer. And then in the evenings at 8:30 p.m., we're going to actually do it. Now, those night sessions, I know they're going to be powerful. And guess what? I am not recording them. So there is no buy the replay for that. But at a later date, you will be able to get the teachings and the lessons from Learning How to Pray, called, and it's officially titled, Teach Me How to Pray. So listen, I'm excited to invite you to this, and you can go to thecherishedwoman.com and then put that backslash in and type in the word pray. So it's thecherishedwoman.com/pray. And listen, I really cannot wait to see you, because sometimes some of our interpersonal relationships need us to go to God in prayer and faith. And it takes a very brave person to admit that I have often wanted people to treat me in a way that I have not communicated. And sometimes you need to understand where those trauma responses in your past, where they are buried. And God gives us amazing spiritual gifts to be able to see and to understand our own prayer languages, our own spirits, our own lives. So I'm excited, and I am so ready for you to attend. But of course, as we end every episode, we have come to the end. I want to pray for you. You ready? All right. So let's, first of all, calm down, because this has been a packed episode. So let's breathe and let's pray. Father, I thank you for the listener on the other side of the screen. And I thank you so much for, God, their humanity and them admitting that there have been times and in seasons where they have been provoked to anger, and they have been just frustrated with people, frustrated with relationships, and not knowing where they went wrong, where they went left, where they went right. And God, I thank you that they're coming to you now, hearts open and ready for them to understand that, God, you are there, and you want to help them master people and master relationships, because there is nothing on this earth that moves forward without the engine of relationship. And so, God, I thank you that you are giving them the ability to take back what the enemy has stolen, which is time and emotions and things that they may have said in the heat of anger that they can never get back. So, Lord, I thank you that they walk in forgiveness, first of themselves, then of others, as you extend mercy and forgiveness to them. Lord, we ask you for these things in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. All right. Well, this has been the end of this episode, and I cannot wait to see you soon.